Today on our Tech for Business podcast, we're continuing to talk about AI and specifically how you can become an AI advocate in your workplace. And we have two such people here today. We have Andrew, our customer strategy advisor, and Kelsey, our graphic designer and brand strategist. Thank you guys for taking time to come here today.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to us talk on and on, because you don't get enough of that. I know, we always talk a little bit before we press play, so we probably have like 10, 15 minutes before this even started, which is great. I'm going to start with Andrew, because you were the person who kind of came up with the idea today, talking about how to really advocate in your business for the use of AI. And I'm interested, what really excites you about AI tools, or what really inspires you to dive into this world?
I think it's the possibility of what it can do. I have a lot of, you know, quarterly meetings or biannual meetings that we meet with customers and the C-level leadership. And one of the big questions they've had was, what's AI? How can I integrate it into my business? Because if I don't start looking at it, I know my competition is looking at it right now, and then we're going to be behind the eight ball. So that kind of got me rolling a little bit on like, okay, like, let's try and not like, oh, personal, let's try and make some funny, you know, images, but more, what are some business cases? And so looking at how AI and Copilot integrate within has really made me think about my work process and how it can change the work process of other individuals. If that is crafting an email that you can then review and then send out, if it's creating a report, if it's analyzing a report, whatever that is, there's such a big space that it's hard to kind of narrow it down sometimes. And I think that is what was holding me back a little bit, is because I'm just like, okay, well, there's so much stuff. Where do I start? And I'm one of those people where if there's a big task, depending on how I'm doing, I'm either really good at navigating it, or I just like, I don't know what to do. And I freak out a little bit. And I feel like with AI, it was just like, hey, it's everywhere and you hear it and it's a buzzword. And I got overwhelmed. And I've, you know, been in the, I've been working in tech for over 15 years and been interested in it, you know, prior to that as well. So I can only understand what other people are thinking when they say, hey, here's AI. I think it helps with understanding where there's maybe some, you could call it agentless AI that's doing some recommendations in your everyday life. Really simple one is Google search. It used to be when you did Google search, right? It was, they have their search optimization, and it uses different links and different things like that. And you would get a list of a list of websites. Now, if you do a Google search, most likely, depending on what you do, is that it will give you a section from AI. Google's AI is called Gemini. So it gets generated from that. And it says, hey, you look for, I had it this weekend with some car issues. So, hey, what does, you know, the check engine light on a 2017, you know, Nissan Frontier say? And it gave me a bunch of different things to like look for. And it also gave references. So So not only was I able to get that, I could also go, okay, well, what's the context within, you know, that prompt or that suggestion? So I think that's an easy way to kind of ease yourself in. And Google has always recognized that people don't always search. They go, you know, what does a check engine light mean?
Right.
It's not always a, you know, I do it because I've, you know how to Google search, and that's been a big part of, you know, tech industry. So I'm a little more specific in my searches, but most people are write questions in there, and that question is better answered or able to get pulled by Gemini and be able to have that prompt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Google search is one way. In our pre-meeting, you could say our pleasantries, Kelsey mentioned Netflix recommendations and being able to say, okay, you spent 1 second on this, or you clicked into this, but you didn't watch it, or, you know, however long you looked at certain shows is then fed back. And then, okay, how much watch time did they have? That's always been there, right? To some degree of statistics that Netflix pulls. But being able to integrate, okay, here's what, you know, Kelsey's doing, here's what Ariel's doing, here's what Andrew's doing. Is there a connection between them that we can find the right show?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's some agentless things in there. Is there anything that I'm missing that you can think of, Kelsey?
No, I'm kind of, I'm bouncing around in my head that I'm like starting from right the top of like, what really excites us about AI? I'm like, right, you're kind of going, okay, there's this big overwhelm, 100% of like, there's the things exactly like you're talking about that feel very easy. You're not going in, you're using Google how you're used to it. You're using Netflix just how you would use it. You're watching things. And yes, they've always had the thumbs up, the thumbs down, right? TiVo back in what 2000s taught you that that's how you did it and that's how it recommended things to you. But now it's so much smarter because it can take all of this data that we know that we're using it and just go, hey, maybe because when you're stressed, you watch The Great British Bake Off, you would also like this other special whatever version or this cooking show or this cozy BBC show, right? Kind of all of these things that's kind of the experience that we come to expect without realizing that it's AI now doing that personalization at scale, same way that Spotify does it. So it's right, kind of those things, which transitions me slightly into like, right, the marketing use case of, to peek under the hood, we're a team of three marketing people at this company. So when AI came to the market, at least bigger than right, just spell check, yes, my other favorite user-friendly AI is, hey, you misspelled that word. I before E except after C. Maybe remember that or else we're just going to correct it for you. All of those good, beautiful things. But right, to look at it from the internal aspect of you're working with customers and they're going, how do we know? And then I'm looking at it from our team. And what was exciting to me was to go, I don't need to plan on hiring a bunch of people or be 10 different people all within the same day. I can automate some of what I'm doing or use AI to help me do these things faster. Because yeah, maybe I'm not an expert on psychological personas of people who use Pinterest. Totally fake example there, right? But thanks to things like Gemini, right? Going, hey, we know that these Google users who also search for Pinterest, also look for this, or also maybe in this demographic group. So we can maybe give you something to sniff at. All of a sudden, I'm not spending a week listening to podcasts, reading books, doing all the things. I'm going, I'm doing the TLDR, too long didn't read version of this, and going, give me the clip notes of things that I could have already Googled, which is why I love your Gemini Google search. And because right, I'm like, as a marketer, yeah, the back end is it's SEO, it's your top rank results, it's Google going through and saying this article answers your question the best. That's why it's number one in your search. And it's just removing you having to read the article and saying, you didn't ask about all of the Nissan makes and models. You asked about the specific one with a specific light. So instead of you scrolling, it said, here's the condensed version of exactly what you asked, which is so lovely.
Yes. Yeah. It's I feel like that was an example where it literally went through a bunch of them and it went, okay, the common things that happen are this. And then it takes it and it puts it in real language. So transitioning that over to kind of a business use case can be difficult sometimes because you may not know what tools to use, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. And one of the easiest ways to think about it is if you don't have an AI policy, you probably should, or at least talk to somebody who can help work with them. We have a great GRC team here at CIT. And I believe I talked with one of them this morning, and he's working on a fifth one in the last about week. So you want to document what your company data is used for. Because in those Geminis, in those Copilots, if you're not using a premium or specifically say don't use this to train the larger data or large language model or LLM, it's going to put it in and it's going to potentially spit out information that you don't want it to other individuals. So that's my kind of disclaimer there. But it's also, even if you're just like, hey, I need help with a job recommendation or a job offer, if you're in HR, you can take the job, the job posting, copy that, put it into, let's say, Copilot and say, hey, this is a job recommendation or I need a job offer. Give me an option for sending this off. And then it will provide you with an offer letter. One of the ways I've been talking about kind of generative AI. So this is the text base that you're giving a prompt, you're chatting with it. Because there's as we talk about AI, that big bubble, right? Where are different places? So right now it's kind of the generative AI. You're giving it a prompt, you're providing it something, and it's giving you an answer back. So just kind of pretext there. It is four D's. So on how to use it in your workflow is dirty, dull, dangerous, or difficult. And if you think about your work process and you're just like, gosh, I really don't like having to make these offer letters. I don't know what to put in them sometimes, or whatever that is, you can try and use that without providing any specific work or business related information. So if you do want to do that, there's always, paid versions, making sure to work with, your solutions provider to say, hey, I want to use this, but I don't want to train the model. And so thinking about your work process and going, okay, where do I get stuck? Where do I get frustrated? Is there something with data entry? Is there something with transferring something from one system to another? Do I have to, export an Excel document to then put it into this one or whatever that task is? That's a great place to start. And think about what kind of solution could do this, could AI do this, and then being able to fit that into potentially your workflow. There's quite a few steps in there when it comes to kind of some ethical and other training initiatives that you should think about that we can talk now or another podcast, but that kind of gets into a whole quagmire, you could say, that we probably don't have time for today. But I'm more than happy to talk about that on a future one. And I when it comes to those, kind of think about where to use AI. And then with the prompt engineering, there's a couple of ways that you could help get better results. So just with like Google searching, and you kind of had to learn how to Google search sometimes to get the answers you wanted. There's ways to prompt the generative AI to get what you want. So use clear language. Say, I need this. I think OpenAI came out and said, if you say thank you, it's some exorbitant number of dollars that they spend with providing that prompt back. As much as we want to be polite, you don't have to say please. You don't have to say thank you. It took me a little bit myself to get used to it, but it's just like, it's a machine. You want something, you need to be clear with what you want. And so say, I need this. You are this. That kind of leads into the next one, is give it a persona. So when Kelsey or Ariel, you're in a marketing position, you can say, hey, I'm a marketer for a technology company. I need some topics to talk about for an upcoming podcast. What are some top topics that we could talk about? And so you're framing the AI to get into that persona, instead of just a general, okay, well, let's look at, you know, what are some topics that we could do? Oh, well, this is a business related podcast. Let's make sure that we gear it towards that. Mm-hmm. The more instruction you can give it is also good, of going back to the job recommendation, or the job offer, excuse me. If you can provide it with the job description, that's going to be a lot better than just saying, hey, I need a job offer for a level one engineer. Okay, well, it's going to be pretty general and may not be specific for the job that you're hiring for. But if you can provide it with the job description, you're going to get a better result out of it. If you can give a, I need this, then this, then this, it's going to be a lot better. So it takes a little bit to understand and work with it. And it's also not a one-time search. If you don't like it, tell it, that's great. I don't like this portion. Generate it differently. And it will provide that to you. Or if you want options, say, I need three options for this email. Give me three options. I like this one, but I don't like the wording of this. Chat with it. Work with it. It's not a single time prompt like Google is. So mm-hmm. I think that was one of the things as well that I needed to work on, was it's a conversation. It's mm-hmm. not a one time ask. Has that been your kind of experience with it as well, Kelsey?
Yeah. And like, shameless self-promotion here, a little bit past podcast promotion, we talk about prompting, that there's another one that we have with myself and Todd that we talk about exactly what you're saying. And we kind of go through the formula of write the prompts. But to get back to your question, yes, 100%. It's a chat. It mm-hmm. is not just an output tool. We've had output tools, but that's why this feels different. And to your point, that's why it feels like it's an actual conversation, where you can give it more detail and you can work with it. And yes, giving it everything all at once and then expecting it to be 100% perfect is just not reality. And I'd like to think that, right, whatever I make out of my brain is also not perfect. This is the bad first pancake example of going, if you're trying to adopt AI into your workflow or into your work, or going to your boss and saying, hey, we should do this, do it with the expectation that you're going to have a bad first pancake. That the first few things that you're going to do are not going to be great. You're going to learn a lot of things. You don't just install Copilot and go 100%. I ask things it to do things all the time, and I'm like, Excel should be able to do this. And it goes, that is not something that Excel does. You didn't format it as a table. Insert problem here. And it does have that learning curve that, right, it's not, while it can do amazing things, you see, right, the sales pitch, the video, and you go, it's going to change my life. It's going to make it great. And then you go to make a PowerPoint presentation and you say, make me a PowerPoint presentation that sells cookies for cats. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up now. Part of it may be brilliant. Part of it may be so wacky because all I gave it was this tiny short little prompt and said, go for it. And then I didn't look at, to your point, what data sets it was looking at. I didn't give it a tone of voice.
Yeah.
And again, it's, I said in a previous podcast, they're so motivated to give you whatever you want.
Yes.
It's so motivated, which is amazing. And I love that. But at the same time, you just can't expect it to be the perfect package. It just gives you that little bit of extra where I'm going, oh, I have to make a slide deck and it's going to be 30 slides. And I just don't know where to start. And it's overwhelming. It really takes out that slight overwhelm or avoidance. So I love your four D's. And I was like, the phrase that we all know and maybe love could have been an email in meetings. I feel like now I've transitioned to could have been an AI thing. Because especially when it's something that I'm working with another department or cross-departmentally. So if you're being an AI advocate in your company and you figure out, hey, there's this thing that works so well, it then means that, right, sometimes we'll get marketing requests for an email. And sometimes I can tell the person used AI to generate an email. Why? Almost every single one, you'll start seeing these things come with at CIT, comma. And I'm like, thank you, AI, for generating that sentence yet again. To everybody who's ever read an email that we may or may not have used AI to generate, you're now going to see it. And I apologize. That's behind the curtain. But right, there's little things like that where, yeah, you still have to give a human touch to it. Or somebody may go, hey, I just want to template out email. And I go, well, but you're giving a report. And so rather than just attaching the report to the same email, you can feed it to AI. To your point, we have past podcasts, make sure it's all connected, set up correctly. I'm not going to get into that today. But how great is it if I can give it a list of my last five survey results of past podcast episodes with little glyphs and say, hey, instead of just sending somebody an email that says, thanks so much for your feedback, it can give a personalized, it read it, it knew some of the exact feedback, it knew other podcast episodes that might answer that question and can automatically send them an email to do those things. That's a marketing use case, but you could just think and go, once I've established that, there's maybe sales applications for it. There's maybe HR applications for it. There's maybe, right, strategic engagement things, service things. It's, again, if you really pair it back to the framework, you're going, could have been an email or maybe could have been an AI generated thing because maybe we didn't need to hand take notes or write the meeting recap by hand. Maybe we can just let AI do it because it's faster at it.
Yes. Yeah. And I may get a little nerdy, but that's kind of what we do is with Skynet, right? AI, everybody's going to be like, it's going to be Skynet, which is, if you're not sure or understand the reference, it's a Terminator reference. It's a great series. If you haven't seen it, fantastic. Skynet is this thing that takes over the world, and it's robots. And I feel like people are just like, wow, AI is everywhere. It's going to become Skynet. It's not there. It's right now, the best way to think about it is use it as your personal assistant. That's what it's there for. You know, going back to the four D's, those are kind of some things where as you progress in your career, you're like, oh, I can hand this off to somebody. And think about AI as that somebody you can hand it off to. I need to craft this email. God, I really don't want to do that. Use it as a framework, get it 75% of the way there. And then you can go through and say, yep, I want to change this. I want to change this and then send it off. It's a great way of getting you into that, kind of step. So kind of, you know, thinking about being an advocate in your organization, slowly try and see what it does, use it for personal stuff, or simple generations or simple questions. I think that will get some of the juices flowing of what is this capable of? There's lots of resources out there, and several of them are free. So obviously YouTube, you could Google it, but figure it out. However, some specific ones that we can probably put in the description for the podcast is straight from Microsoft. They have a, I think I looked at it this morning, they have over like 4,000 modules that you can go through, anywhere from 2 minutes to like 3 hours on their site. But there's a specific, you can narrow it down by product. And one of those products you can narrow it down to is Copilot. So if you're wondering about what this is, how does Copilot work within our organization? You can go to the Microsoft Learn and look through their Copilot. I believe there's 400 something Copilot ones. I have it pulled up here. You can 165, excuse me. So 165, and I'm looking here, the modules, some of them are 31 minutes, hour and a hour, 5 minutes, but even just looking and being like, hey, this one says use AI for everyday tasks. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know at this point using Microsoft Security Copilot. Great. Just start using it a little bit. Understand what it does, what prompt to give it, how it makes its decision, and then that output you get and what you can do with it. Another great resource that I found is LinkedIn. On the upper right-hand side, next to your profile picture, there's a learning tab, and you can go in there, and there's quite a few learning courses that are available through LinkedIn Learning. And that one, I was able to watch a couple of videos and go through the training on Copilot within PowerPoint that you mentioned before, Copilot within Excel. And I was like, this is super cool. I have no use for it right now because I don't have a giant thing to analyze or something to make. But understanding how to craft that and work with that, if that product is either built within like a chat, or if it's, if you have the license, being able to use it within PowerPoint in those applications on your desktop computer, to say, hey, here's where I'm at. I need you to analyze this table, right? And give me this information. It really, I sent it right away. I saw this and I'm just like, oh, this is super cool. And I sent it over to our finance director because I'm just like, you got to use this, because we talk about Excel and all the things where it's just like, I that's the power of it. And so understanding, oh, this is where this use case could come in. You know, some of those learning things are just like listening to it made me go, oh, that's how we could use that in our organization. May not me, probably not me specifically. I don't analyze spreadsheets. I don't do a lot of that data analysis, but she does. And so I'm just like, hey, maybe this is helpful for you. And being that person that, you know, is interested is powerful.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. And I think too, right, when you're like, AI in your personal life versus AI at work. In my personal life, I don't have to necessarily track to be like, this is what I'm doing, this is the outcome, and this is the prompt that I use. In my personal life, right, I can just chat with it and go, I need to know how to do this thing in gardening. Done. I accomplished the thing. When you're at work, I feel like I have to turn on a different mindset of going, if I was going to convince, because Copilot is not a free tool, there is a free version of it, but some of the things that we're talking about are not free. So when you look at it, right, and you're going, hey, I have to go to my leadership team and prove that I need a Copilot license, you can still start building out your use case with some of these free tools. You can do something as simple as going to the free version of Copilot and saying, this is my problem. How would I fix it with AI? Ask me additional questions for the best possible output. And it'll ask you questions and it'll say, I need to know this, 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 this. And then you answer it and it would say, this is what I would do and this is the plan. And you're going, okay, cool. Now I'm in the realm of, I know what I have to track. Is it an ROI? Is it increased efficiency? Is it, again, all of our favorite corporate terms of things that I wouldn't have to use in my personal life that I'm going to use here. Because I think that's such an interesting thing, is to say, well, I could do so many things with AI. But to your point, is there one thing that's going to be one use case that is worth the spend of that license?
Yes.
And can I document it in the same way, right? That we've seen all the things. And of course, I see the Instagram reels of somebody going, here's the thing that I did. And I tracked it all in a spreadsheet. And yet it seems like all of this extra work. But there's a reason why, as a marketing team, right, we use Monday.com as our task tracking kind of big tool, but we have time tracking. So, right, I'm tracking how much time a task used to take me, how much time it takes me to make the AI thing. And then what does that look like in the future if that's truly the thing that I'm tracking? Because we all know that there's a million and one benefits that you could try to position. I could do my best art degree version of, right, here's all the things that it did for you. Yes. But really knowing the thing that you're trying to accomplish, and that's, right, some weird self-reflection. Let's sit down and meditate, breathe, and realize, why don't I want to write that email? What was that doing? Saving you time, or maybe it's giving a better experience. Maybe that's the goal, is that you're seeing a better experience, a shorter sales cycle, whatever that is. But then me circling it all back and going, you can also ask AI to help you brainstorm goals. You do not have to have all of the answers.
Yeah, and that can be a great way of just being like, I don't know what AI can help me with. You know, say, hey, I need help with figuring out where AI can be integrated into my business. We run a link company. Put in, you know, be just as descriptive as possible, right, about your company and your business and what you do. And see what it puts out. If it doesn't give you anything, it doesn't give you anything. But if it gives you, you know, one little prompt and you're just like, oh yeah, we do that. And oh, we could use AI for that. I know we're running up on time and I want to be appropriate of that, but there's the overall bigger, you know, large language models. Within each of them, ChatGPT calls them GPTs, Gemini calls them Gems, and Copilot calls them agents. They are specific application prompts that are trained on specific data. And I'd love to come back and talk again about, you know, custom ones and what that looks like. But it's not a... If you're looking for something specific on a repeatable basis and you wanted to do specific tasks, it can do that. Agents are something that I want to say are pretty recent within the Microsoft universe of allowing you to create them. So obviously it takes some skills. It takes quite a few steps of training and lots of other things that we can talk about in a future podcast. But that's another way of doing it. I go, oh, if we can integrate X system to create Y outcome using AI in between, that's something that those custom agents can do. So just kind of, you know, something else to talk about with that next level of how to integrate AI is some of those work processes.
And it's such a great point, yeah, to kind of, again, we're like, yes, we'll talk about it in the future. Yeah, we'll get to all those things. But as you're advocating it and you're going, oh, I'm looking at a job that wants me to be AI literate. What does that mean? Oh, my company, I want to become the go-to person for AI. Knowing that that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be super technical and you don't have to. For some companies, maybe that's what that means. But I don't know. I have a very basic level of coding knowledge, but I still use AI. And to your point, and bring it back to the agents, if I'm noticing I'm using AI for this, and then I'm going to this other tool and I'm doing this, and then I'm pulling this data and I'm bringing it back here. Any of those switching steps, those are the types of things to go. Can I ask AI to help me build out a process for it? Or can I put it into a spreadsheet? Whatever works best with your brain. I like to keep it digital because then I can copy and paste things or write same things over, present it when I need it rather than writing it down because I will lose it. But that's a personal fun fact. But as you bring it back to the agent of going, that's really all you need to look at is to go, what is your problem? How could you use it to fix it? What's the goal of fixing it? Why would you fix that problem? And then does that problem include multiple systems or a specific set of data? Because that's the kind of crawl, walk, run, whatever again, corporate thing you want to use going into there, saying the agents are that next step to say, oh, great, you now know how to chat and you now use the same prompt. Now you want to connect it and you want it to do something else, or you want it to be available to another team. Because that's the kind of big, fun, exciting things of going, that's how you're seen as an AI advocate beyond your own role in the company and beyond your personal use case, is saying, I took this and then I made it into something that's usable by multiple other people. Which my last little, it's a little bit of a tangent off of that, but I was thinking, when you said, oh, just go and ask it and give the information, anything in your company website is public data. So right when we're saying give it information, if you wouldn't put it on your website, maybe don't put it into free tools. That's my little disclaimer right there. But also knowing that instead of typing all that in, I could go, hey, I'm going to put in CITSolutions.net into Gemini and say, you are a marketing team for CIT. In parentheses, here's our website. What sort of AI goals would you set knowing what you know off the website? And it's not going to be perfect. Again, it's the first pancake thing, but it gets you into the realm of data faster, because whoever your web development team is, marketing team, whatever. And fun fact, you can do the same thing for your competitors. So to bring it back to your original customer pain point, I'm losing my competitor edge. You can go, how would this company, how would Disney use AI?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it would say, it could do this. And you can go, how would you apply that to Nickelodeon? And then we go here. And that gives you, again, all of these things that we could spend hours and hours and talk about it, and could have been an email, could have been AI, and say, at least it gives you a universe to live in. And it may not be perfect, but it frees up that part of your brain to go, you thought of all the obvious things. I'm going to think of the things that maybe you didn't think of because they didn't exist in your universe.
You make a good point. It's with the personal assistant, right? It can get that mundane, repeatable stuff done. So you have time to be that thought leader, that to provide insight into your business, which is where you get your competitive edge. You know, why do your customers come to you? Because of you, because of the services you provide, and you have more time to do that.
100%. I always think of whoever does the tweeting or the threads for the TSA. One of my favorite humans, I have no idea who they are. AI probably could not be as witty as they are. You can train it and get close. But I got to imagine, right, their social strategy, they do a lot of things that are probably the same repeatable tasks, so that they have the brain space to go, that's genius. Let's do that, to give it that unique flavor of what your company actually is, which is a whole nother branded conversation that I could go on and on about. But yes, love that point.
Yeah, that's kind of a beautiful place to wrap up. We talked about so many things, how AI is already in your everyday life. You are already using it, even though it can kind of feel overwhelming. It's there. It's a great place to maybe start, is just kind of see how you're already using it. We gave some amazing resources. I'll make sure they're in the description, but we encourage you just to try it out, go and have a conversation. You know, we can, we've got some prompting podcast that Kelsey mentioned. We'll make sure to link that in the description as well. But most importantly, it's about you. It's about your excitement. And AI is taking those things off of your plate so that you can do more of the things that you love.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com, or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.